Welcome back to Noise Avocation Podcast. I'm Ryan, here with Jeremy, as always.
What's up, dude?
And we have a very special guest, fucking Jay from Bayway here. Thanks for jumping on the show, man. We appreciate it.
I very much appreciate you guys for having me, man. Thank you.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going pretty crazy. I mean, August was sort of an insane month for Bayway. We had, I mean, the shows were just crazy. This Is Hardcore is how it started off, and then went into a big show in Jersey with E-Town. It was like 2,000 people. And then right after that, just right into a West Coast thing. We were supposed to do Canada, but I got fucking really sick. I got strep throat, couldn't talk for 4 days. It was really fucked up. So we had to cancel that. But yeah, August has just been insane. So I'm literally like back to work first day from, you know, this entire like West Coast run and a small vacation. So yeah, it's kind of crazy, but I'm happy to be here with you guys.
Where was the West Coast run? Where all did you go for that?
We started in Vegas. So we flew into Vegas and we played a show there, and then we went out to Sacramento and then just sort of worked our way down south. Last show was in LA. And okay. It's crazy. I mean, the tour with E-Town is like a dream come true for me.
Yeah, like, dude, that's fucking sick. Like, I can't even imagine, insane. Dude.
It was absolutely insane. It's been my favorite band since I was fucking like 13 years old. So like, to be able to be like, yeah, I'm going to tour with E-Town was just like fucking outrageous. Like, if you would have told me that when I was a kid, I'd have been like freaking the fuck out. So it was very, very cool.
That's fucking awesome. You said that you did like a show and it went in Jersey. There was like 2,000 fucking people.
Yeah, we did Starland Ballroom with E-Town, which like they do like sort of like a yearly thing in Jersey, because I mean, obviously they're fucking massive in Jersey. But they do like a yearly thing where they pop out and play a headliner gig. And this time they chose to do Starland again. And it was with like End It, Bulldoze, local band Curate, New York City Shootout got thrown in at like the last minute. And it was just like insane, absolutely crazy show. I think they sold like 1,800 pre-sale tickets, and then it went over like 2,000 people. But it was crazy. I mean, to look out at a sea of people at a hardcore show was nuts. It was definitely weird to get used to a barricade. But yeah, I made it work, man. I was like, how the fuck am I going to turn this into a hardcore show? Like, I got to get into the barricade and fucking, like, you know, get near people. Like, it felt so weird to have, like,
that huge separation. Division.
What's that?
That huge division. Like, it's not.
Not how I do it, man. I'm used to my friends doing flips off me and shit. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure. It's weird. One question, like, for those that don't know, you always wear your like Bayway jersey, your Bayway shorts, and those Jordans. Like, now is that part of like that aesthetic thing? Like, because I know it gets hot as fuck up there, and then you're running around jumping, like, you know what I mean? Is it like, you know, you got to put your fucking.
You know, it definitely was a good decision in terms of managing the temperature of a 230-pound dude running back and forth for 30 minutes. That was a good decision. But to be honest, I'm glad you asked me about the jersey, because some people think that it's like this weird jock aesthetic or whatever it is. And like, it's honestly like, it's a tribute. So my friend, his name was Mike Fry. Just a great kid, just a very unique individual, big in the Jersey hardcore scene, toured with a bunch of different bands. He, at one point, he hit me and he was like, yo, I want to start a band. And it was actually at an E-Town show at Starland Ballroom. And he was like, I want to start a band and we're all going to wear jerseys with our names on the back. And, you know, we never got to start that band. We never got to do the thing that he wanted to do. And he passed away. So when I decided that I was going to do Bayway, I kind of like was coming up with a look, like a stage look. And like one of the first shows, I had a Shattered Realm jersey on, which is hilarious because now I play Shattered Realm. But it's like, I was always a basketball jersey guy, you know what I mean? And So, but then I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll do the Bayway jersey with the motherfucker on the back, and I'll do the 22, and that'll just be my thing. And it's a tribute to him. So shout out Mike Fry, shout out his family, all of his friends. Love that motherfucker, and we miss him. So, you know, it's a tribute to him. And if he was still alive, he'd probably be playing bass in the band. So, like, it's kind of a way for us to kind of still be with him.
That's fucking cool, man. Awesome. I'm glad you fucking explained that. Yeah, I didn't. I never thought of it as a, like, a jock thing. I thought of it more of like a tribute to like E-Town and like Stickman and shit.
It's definitely that too. I mean, I'm a New Jersey guy.
You know, like, you know what I mean? So, like, it's definitely a, like a Jersey thing for sure.
Yeah, I have a, you know, I have an Italian background, and for me, everything is like it's all about legacy and tradition and carrying on, you know, those that have passed and things like that. So it was big for me to have, you know, something that I could put forward that's not like, I don't really tell everybody like, oh, this is what it is. It's just like, it's for me.
Right.
You know
right.
what I'm saying? It's for Chris, it's for Dave. So, you know, it's just one of those really cool things that's sort of like an Easter egg. It's like, if you know, you know. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
Plus, you guys just have really dope merch in general, so it makes sense to show it off.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. We working hard on new shit constantly. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah, I had to grab the fucking Bada Bing jersey, but I fucking left it at home. But that was just like, that is fucking genius, dude.
I appreciate you, man. We that was a think tank between my boy Dom and my wife. We were all sitting together, you know, like we had just eaten like a obscene amount of Antipas, like more mozzarella than a human being should ever eat.
Just bound the fuck up.
We're just sitting there disgusting, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we're just coming up with ideas, spitballing, and she came up with it, and I just started, you know, making it happen on Photoshop. And, you know, it's sort of like we play this game, it's like the dumbest idea wins. You know what I'm saying? It's like, what's the most ridiculous thing you could think of? And then that's what we do, you know?
Yeah.
That's fun. Nah, so dude. I'm glad you fucked with it. Obviously, you know, tribute to the Sopranos, mm-hmm. the Jersey lifestyle, the Italian, you know, heritage, and just total nonstop being, you know, the biggest moron on the planet. It just trying to come up with the dumbest shit.
That's fucking, man, that's genius. I love it.
Thank you, bro. Thank you.
Yeah, but like you said, you just fucking throw like, some shit together on Facebook, and it's like, you got, it's just, the fucking world now, it just blows me away how, like, quick you can do shit, you know?
Yeah, man, yeah, it's cool. We've been fortunate to, like, work with, like, really cool printers in and around Jersey that are, like, able to just, like, throw this shit together for me at, like, you know, I think I hit, shout out Joe Stanley, he's a dude that printed this, the Bayway, the Bada Bing jersey, Perseverance. He's got his own fucking clothing lines. Really cool shit, actually, if you want to check it out.
Shout out Perseverance.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, he does a lot of really cool shit. But he threw it together for me, like, I think it was like in a week and a half or some shit. Like, it's just crazy. I called him. I'm like, yo, I got this idea. You know, we need it for this hardcore. And he's like, all right, I'll bring it to this hardcore for you. And I was like, all right, man, thank you. You're the fucking man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, dude, that's
good to have
awesome.
That connection on short notice like that, especially if you needed it for a show.
Yeah, hardcore is cool that way, though, man. You know, it's you bond with a lot of different people over, you know, over breakdowns, silly shit. So it's fucking cool.
Yeah. So putting Bayway together, then, what did you like? I guess going back, let's go back a little bit. Like, what did you do before Bayway? Obviously, you're in the scene.
Yeah, I my biggest band, I guess, before Bayway was probably Years Spent Cold. That was probably like the most notable thing that I did. I played guitar in Years Spent Cold for a couple years, early 2000s. I've been playing guitar in bands since, I think my first show was 2001. So I've been playing shows and doing shit like that. I mean, playing like. My early bands like played with like Bulldoze, we played with fucking Full Blown Chaos, Sworn Enemy,
yeah,
like
that's sick.
God forbid, like one of all the bigger bands, the bigger names, stuff that were coming out at the time. So I've been doing this shit for a long fucking time. But Years Spent Cold is probably the most notable. I took some time off. Had a kid, moved to Florida, you know what I mean? Did my thing, just like, you know, chilled out. And then came back and just started playing drums in a death metal band for a little while, just like trying to get my feet wet, getting back involved. And then after COVID, it was just like, I wanted to do something that, like, if it wasn't fun and it wasn't like reminding me of being a kid, then I didn't fucking care about it. I didn't want anything to do with it. So like, we got back together, we started writing songs, we demoed out some shit, and Bayway was born, you know? Like, Bayway is like, it's just like something funny between me and Chris. Like, he just called me one day, he's like, yo, we're gonna call the band Bayway. And I'm just like, all right. I mean, it's like where we're from. It's like where Lyndon and Elizabeth meet is the Bayway Refinery. Like, my family came here from Italy and they landed in this section of Elizabeth, which is considered Bayway. Okay. So there's a whole history around Bayway, but like, it was just funny because like, yo, we're gonna do that Bayway. He kept hitting me with it, and like, I was like, yo, I'm gonna demo out some of the songs. And like, I went from like, you know, I was playing bass a little bit, I was playing guitar a little bit, and then I was like, fuck it, I'll do vocals. And then next thing you know, it was just like, I can't really rap on a song, can I? And he was like, yeah, you can. And it was like a joke at first, and then it was like, yo, I'm gonna say Bayway motherfucker.
Yeah.
And we're just gonna run with it. And you know, next thing you know, bro, it's just like we're in front of This Is Hardcore and everyone's screaming Bayway motherfucker. It's like, what the fuck happened? How did this
fucking two syllables, man?
Bro, crazy. Just crazy. Just one word names, bro. Kids, yep. Listening, one word names are where it's at.
Yeah, dude. Just like fucking, you remember like Shockwave back in the day?
Yeah.
Just be shock, wave, shot. Same thing, man. It's like those two syllables.
Fucking, yeah, there's something
good
about
chance.
It.
Good chance.
Yeah, man. No doubt. No doubt.
So it was like 2022, you put a demo out, and correct me if I'm wrong, but that came out on RTF, right? Road to Fury.
RTF, shout out to Pat. The dude's been in New Jersey's hardcore scene for fucking 20 plus years. Always doing something, man. He was like a DIY fucking genius. He's like a fucking wizard. He comes up with crazy ass ideas and then he makes them happen. A lot of people are like think tanking ideas, but they don't do them.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's responsible for that fucking croc rocker. Like, he just called me one day. He's like, we're going to do Bayway Crocs. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I saw those fuck, dude, like the other day.
What are you
saying
to me
right
now, brother? Like, what? He's like, we're doing them. Trust me. The kids want them. They're going to mosh with them. I'm like, all right, bro. All right, let's do them. You know what I mean? Next thing you know, he's fucking got them on my table. I'm like, dude's fucking crazy. He's
fucking
crazy.
Crocs.
So. I didn't see the Crocs.
Well, okay, like when I was like looking at some merch or whatever, and I thought they were like straight up pins, you know? And I'm a fucking sucker for a pin.
And then I look if you and order like, them and you got sent some Crocs.
Fucking
and you're like,
Crocs,
fuck
yo.
Are these?
Damn.
Yeah, man. He's just insane. He came up with that Newport design. Like, we started to talk about what that second record was going to be like and what it was called and what the aesthetic was going to be. And he just like, started throwing together these Newport designs, and like, it's just insane. Like, it's just insane. It just really took off, and it's really a story about like Bayway in so many ways is a story about people that have just been friends for 20 plus years that are just like literally having so much fucking fun being ridiculous.
But that's isn't really that what makes the is. Best fucking band though? I mean, if it's not fun, what the fuck's the point, right?
I could not agree with you more. Like, that's the whole Bayway concept is like, if we're not having the most fun possible, then we'll just stay home. Like, we're good.
I got
you know what I mean?
I got a little picture there of that. Fucking...
Hey, that's what I'm fucking talking about. Hey, hold on. I got the new one though. Hold on. That's the new
one. Ooh.
See?
Got a little black on there.
Oh, that's like the updated version.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got that one, and this one's actually pretty much sold out, so we're about to press another one. So I can't talk about what it's going to look like just yet, but I can say it's going to feature a cover of a band that I absolutely love, and so it'll have another song on it, and it'll have a different look to it, but it's going to be crazy.
Sick.
That was a tape that you just held up, right?
Yeah, it's a tape. Yeah. It's a tape.
So I seen there was a, I have a friend that runs a hip hop label called Bars Over BS, and they did a Newport tape a few years back, but you could flip the top up like it was an actual pack of cigarettes and pull the tape out.
That's sick. Yeah. That's sick. That's sick. Yeah, a band did that too. They're slipping my name, but I'm slipping. The name's not coming to me right now, but a band did that too. They did it with American Spirits. Shit goes hard as fuck.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
American Spirits would be a good one too. Yeah, they got some cool, the colors of the different packs would be like endless options right there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And then we went on, like, after we did that one, we were like, I'm like, yo, how the fuck am I gonna top the Newport? You know what I mean? And I'm like, and my drummer kept coming to practice and smoking Black and Milds, and I'm like, damn, bro, you like the only motherfucker on earth still smoking Black and Milds.
Yeah.
Like, I ain't smoked a Black and Mild since I did overnights at UPS. You know what I'm saying? And like
fucking high school.
Exactly, man. Fucking. So I was like, fuck it, bro. We're going to do the Word is Bond tape. We're going to do the fucking Black and Milds on it. And it was like a tribute to him smoking Black and Milds at practice. You know what I'm saying? Just like stupidest shit in the world. Like, it's perfect though. I mean, it matches our aesthetic. So it is what it is. It's just so funny how like shit just like always seems to just like work itself out. Like one way or another, like we get inspired to do some dumbass shit by like the world around us, you know what I mean? By the people in the band and the dumb, ridiculous shit that they do.
Yeah, the fucking Word is Bond tape, man. It was fucking really good.
Thank you, bro.
Mine's still floating around in the mail because that shit got sold out quick.
Yeah. I think we're on our fourth press with days of that right now. And I just got like 40 copies. Shout out to Lumpy for sending me some more copies. But I can't keep them on the fucking table, bro. Whenever we play, people love them. You know what I mean?
Dude.
So we're fortunate. I'm grateful. You know what I mean? It's awesome. Whenever you put out music that you're happy with, and like, I didn't really give a fuck if people were going to like it or not because it made me happy. But
right,
then
right.
For people to like really fuck with it, it's just like, it's such a cool feeling. You know what I mean? It's like, I was happy as fuck with it if nobody bought it, and then to see it sell out, it's just like, what's even happening?
I got this fucking CD that you put everything on from Dave. Yeah. That was a good idea, dude.
Oh, what the fuck is,
you know what I mean? Because if you can't get all the get all the cassettes and shit,
okay,
it's like perfect, you know what I mean? And it was like $10, fucking inexpensive.
Shout out to Lumpy from Days, bro.
That's a good idea.
He was like, we got to put everything on a CD. And I'm like, all right. I was like, fuck it, you know? Like, he said, we're going to put everything on a CD. I'm like, all right, let's call it fucking the Broad Street Bootleg. You know, Streets is Talking. And we can fucking, we came up with the whole concept. And the dude that did the original demo artwork actually did that artwork. He's a kid out of Bayway. And, you know, shout out to Village Idiot. That dude fucking rips, man. Every time I ask him for something, he's just like on point. I don't have to tell him shit. I'm just like, brother, these three ugly idiots in front of the Bayway refinery and go. And he's like, got you, say less. And he just bangs it the fuck out. And it just comes out like insane. So like, dude is just, he's a legend at this point, man. I don't know what the fuck I'm going to use him for next, but I know for a fact it's going to be ridiculous. So there's nothing better than that, you know? Nothing better than peak idiot shit.
Yeah, it seems kind of like everything's just falling into place, lining up. Right people, right time. You got the right connections, and everybody's enthusiastic about it.
It's unreal, man. It's unreal. It really is. Like, our first 11 shows were just like, they kept getting bigger and better and better and better. And, you know, it's like, it was just great. Like, the people just took to it. You know what I mean? It's just like, I always say this to Chris, my guitar player. I always say it to him. It's like, it's a joke that took on like the life of its own. Like, it's got its own energy. Like, it's its own, Bayway is its own thing now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not in the driver's seat no more. Like, I can't control what happens anymore. It's just, it's its own thing. People, like, the way people related to it and came out to it is just like, I'm just so fucking grateful, man. I'm just so grateful that people fuck with what we're doing, to be honest with you. It's just, it's insane. It's fucking crazy.
Well, how you say it, you know, it's like, it's fun. It's just like what you know, you wanted to be in the front. And at the same time, though, it's like you got some serious fucking lyrical content. You know what I mean? Like, Namesake, that I really like that song off of fucking Word. Like, that might even be my favorite song. But that, like, Time Heals Nothing. You got some, like, you know, pretty dark shit going on in there. But I appreciate the realness behind it. You know what I mean?
I love there's one part, I can't remember the song, but where you say, "I may not have much, but at least I'm not a bitch."
Yeah.
I was like when I heard that, I was like, all right, I'm sold on the band. Like, I'm
brother, I mean, right. It's you, everybody could relate to that. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, like there's some people out there that are very fortunate and God bless them. You know what I'm saying? Unfortunately, that wasn't my life. I didn't get to live that one. So like, you know, I was the king of being down bad. Like, I was the king of, like, no registration. My license was expired. I didn't have any insurance, and I was getting pulled over for smoking weed. Like, that was my life on a daily basis. So, like, yeah, I ain't have much, but at least I ain't a bitch. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't have a lot of money. I didn't have a lot of you know, people helping me do this or that or the other thing. You know what I'm saying? I was on my own really early in my life, living in a car, sleeping at Guitar Center. Like, I ain't have much, but bro, I was not a bitch. You know what I'm saying? I made sure I got where I needed to go. And in terms of, like, you know, Time Heals Nothing and Namesake, like you say, it's like Namesake, that's my childhood, man. Like, I, you know, it is what it is. Like, you can do a lot of things. Like, there's a lot of people out there that, you know, maybe they manufacture some of their story or whatever the case may be. And like, it is what it is. Like, at Starland, when we played in front of 2,000 people, my mother's on the side of the stage. I dedicated the song to her because, you know, like, you can say whatever you want, but like, my mom's right here, bro. Like, I ain't lying. Like, this is my life. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I feel like that's why people identify with it, because it's real.
No, for sure, man.
Time Heals Nothing is about my brother dying. You know, like, 17 years old, that kid died. They took him away from my whole family. You know, like, you don't get over that shit. I'm still not over that shit. I'm never gonna be over that shit. I think about that shit every day, at least 5-6 times a day. Like, something will remind me of it, make me sad, make me mad, whatever it is. But like, you know, it is what it is. People say, oh, you know, with every day it gets easier. I don't think it gets easier. I don't think time heals it. I think that
you just learn how to live with it.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You just get, it's like a scar, right? It just, it gets every day. It's like a little bit harsher, a little bit, you know, more cold to the fact that you lost something that meant so much to you.
Fucking A.
But time doesn't fix it. You know what I'm saying? You ain't gonna fix it. He ain't coming back, you know?
Right. Yeah, you just gotta kind of learn how to let it be a part of you in a way, and either, you know, grow with it, or, you know, whatever you gotta do to live with it. But yeah, time.
Yeah.
They say time heals all wounds, but it depends on the circumstance.
Well, those are my lyrics into one song, man. They say time heals all wounds, but, you know, I feel like they never seen wounds like mine. That was my lyrics. They say that all wounds heal with time, but I feel like they never seen wounds like mine. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like that's the truth. You know what I'm saying? I don't feel like I'm healed from any of this shit. I feel like I've learned how to live with it.
No, that's exactly it. You learn, like hardcore helps you fucking learn how to deal with that shit, you know? Give you, like, at least a positive source to fucking
songs, right? Like,
exercise those demons, you know, for in that pit or whatever.
I always say that before we play Time Heals Nothing, I always say that the song goes out to anybody who lost somebody. And, you know, all those feelings that you have inside, this is your time to get it out. Because that's what it's about. That's what I'm doing. You might as well do the same thing. You know, that's why I'm in hardcore. I didn't have the world's greatest family life. So this became my family. This became my outlet. This became a place for me to go. And instead of going to jail or punching a motherfucker for no type of reason, just because he came out of 7-Eleven and I didn't really like the shirt that he had on. You know what I'm saying? Like, I went to hardcore shows. You know what I'm saying? And I got my shit out there. And it was an outlet for me to keep myself out of trouble and, you know, and also maybe get into some.
You know, what's really cool, though, is, like, you can take all that shit and finally you're spinning it into a positive thing. Like you said, Bayway is its own fucking entity now, you know what I mean? Like, it's carrying its own weight, and at least you got some positive shit out of that now, you know what I mean?
I just want to do that, like, I, you know... I'll be honest, there's these kids that come out when we play at Salty's, you know, and they're like, yo, I listen to this shit all the time and this, that, and third. And it meant so much to me because I feel like when people come up to me or they hit me on Instagram, and they're like, yo, I really related to what you said. I know there's so many bands, so many songs that like helped me get through like fucked up shit in my life. So like, if I'm able to do that while like, if I'm able to channel a fucked up moment in my life and I'm able to help somebody get through a hardship while doing that, I mean, that's giving back. That's what hardcore is about.
Straight up. You know?
That's what it's supposed to be about.
On the sound thing, on the fucking last song on Word Is Bond, the Bayway anthem.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so that song starts playing and I'm like, oh, fuck, dude, is it? Like, eyes closed, I'm thinking it sucked me back to the school bus in fucking seventh grade. I'm like, fucking Limp Bizkit, what the fuck? But then you come in, but it wasn't too bad, and then it kind of cut back into some more like the hardcore beat and timing. But I was like, damn, this shit, that's got to be the hook right there, man. The fucking 90s, like that new metal sound.
Yeah,
it's like we talked about the good shit from it, and like, or you know what I mean, and like left Fred Durst fucking at home, you know what I mean.
We talked about that, how there was like a fine line between doing it right and being Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, yeah. and you're doing it right, so it's fucking, that's what's up.
I appreciate that. I mean, my thought process on it was like, when we did the song, I got to put together a playlist. Actually, I have a playlist, but I got to put it on Bayway's. On Bayway's page, so I feel like it would be cool for people to like hear where my head was at, like the
fuck yeah.
I had like 13 or 14 songs that like were just on repeat, you know what I'm saying? And I was listening to like so much Nas, and I was listening to Onyx, and I was listening to Naughty by Nature, and I was kind of like engulfed in this 90s just this 90s hard hip hop shit, where it was like a lot of chants, a lot of just like a lot of motherfuckers just like it sounded like 40 motherfuckers in the studio at the same time. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And like nothing gasses like you up more.
Sick.
What are you saying?
Like MOP and shit like that.
Yeah, exactly, bro. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And nothing gasses me up more. Like I'd be in the gym listening to that shit, and like it hits, bro. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, yo, how do I channel that into a hardcore song? You know what I'm saying? And I mean, of course, I came up on a new metal shit. You know, I got into the scene like 99. I started like really like getting into music that had guitars. Like before that, it was like strictly hip hop. Like I did not give a fuck. If you played a guitar, you lost me. I was like, I got nothing for you, brother. I'm sorry. You do not sound like DMX. I can't put you in. There's nothing I can do. You know what I mean? I'll pencil you in for a few years from now. But so I started getting into it. But so, you know, that stuff definitely influenced me. And then, but really it all came from 90s hip hop. And I just really wanted to, figure out a way to get the chants in there and really do like a 90s hip hop song, but make it hardcore. And I'm hyped that that's what you guys picked up from it. And I'm hyped that it still like kept that like hard mentality to it, because you know, it is a fine line. Cause it's like a lot of our stuff does have hip hop influence. Right. So it's like, how do you walk that line of just like, I'm only rapping over everything to like, we're still a hardcore band though. You know what I'm saying? Like, So like I definitely am walking that line. I'm walking that line as often as possible, because I'm a hip hop kid. Like that's how I came up. You know, like I was rapping in my car seat, man. Like that's what it was. My mom was very young and she listened to a ton of hip hop in the 90s, and I was inspired by that shit. And so that's really where it starts for me. And then, you know, you get into hip hop, and I mean, you get into hardcore and you start getting these really angry, really violent, you know what I'm saying? Like harsh sounds. And like, I just love when you blend that shit.
It's like, so you said, like DMX, man, that hard, dark shit, or like, you know, and we're both fans of hip hop, man. Like that Vinnie Paz, shit like that, Jedi Minds, and that grind,
he's
dude.
He's a great example of taking a really harsh vocal and putting it over hip hop and making it work.
Yeah, Ill Bill would be another one that did it like that pretty well. Yeah,
with success, yeah, for sure.
Self-titled.
But even there's a lot of like ODB guys. On Wu-Tang was a great example of having a really harsh vocal and making it work. Yep. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, early Busta Rhymes did that too with Leaders of the New School. Like, he had that whole like Drunken Master style flow and
Just all over the place. Boom from the cannon. Yeah. That shit was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just like when everybody had their own unique sound and shit, you know, it's cool.
And I think that's what I'm trying to do with Bayway is like I don't want it to sound like anything specific. I just want it to sound like what I like. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're not trying to replicate something that's already been done. You're trying to, like, put your own footprint in there.
Yeah, I just, like, I love hip-hop and I love hardcore. How do I take those two things, smash those fucking two things together and create something that when I listen to it, I'm like, that's what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's all I'm really trying to do. That's really it. And it's like, if people fuck with it, sick. You know?
Yeah, that's what drew me mainly was all the hip-hop style shit into it, because I was, like, Jeremy brought the band to my attention. When you originally bought the World of Bayway 2 record and you posted it, like, I checked it out from there, and I was like, oh, yeah, a ton of fucking hip-hop in here. And then, listen to it over time. And I'm a big hip-hop head myself, too, so, like, that immediately drew me in. I like E-Town Concrete as well. Fury of Five, all that New Jersey hardcore stuff is great, but like, you guys definitely have your own flair.
Well, I appreciate that because I feel like New Jersey, that's what it's really about, right? It's always been about that, like, since the beginning. It's always been like, you know, we're all influenced by this thing, this like mix of cultures, this melting pot of culture here, right? But like, all of us kind of figure out a way to do it and still make it our own.
Yeah.
And I fuck with that. You know what I mean?
You fuck with it. Good.
I'm glad that that's what you guys pick up from it, honestly, because, like, it's always in, you know, it's in the listeners, you know what I'm saying? It's just subjective, right? So it's like, you're listening to it, and whatever you guys get from it is what you get from it. I get something from it, too. You know what I'm saying? So I'm glad that the thought process behind it is that we have our own version of what New Jersey is, because that's really, I think, what we wanted to do. Like, clearly we're influenced by these bands, but like, there's a difference between being influenced by them and then just duplicating what they did.
Well, what's fucking got to be sick is like Stretching the Truth, and you got to do that with Anthony. Like, that song's fucking sick, you know what I mean?
Thank you, bro.
And it's like, that was kind of like, you know, to explain Bayway to people, it's like, well, it's kind of like E-Town, but not. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
it's kind of like, to me, it was like kind of like, but it picked up where they left off.
Right, it sounded like when I heard it, it was like, this sounds like New Jersey. You know what I mean? Like, it sounds like Poverty's Paradise. It sounds like, you know, like when I first heard fucking
like Muddy
Come
Waters,
and Get It, dude.
Shit.
You know, that's kind of what it sounded like to me. And
that's really dope.
Yeah, so it's like, you know what you're doing for sure, man. Or maybe you don't, you're just doing it right. So keep doing what you're doing.
I don't know what I'm doing, but I will tell you this. This I can tell you for sure. I'm trying real hard to make myself laugh and to make myself happy.
Fucking A.
And I feel like it's translating. You know what I'm saying? And as far as Stretching the Truth is concerned, like, we just shot a video for that on this the West Coast tour with Ant. I mean, to be on a tour with him, to do a song with him, and like, you know, he pulled up to the studio. This guy pulled up in a Hummer, bro. Like, I was like, bro, what, they didn't have a tank at the dealership? And he's like, no. He's like, I'll go home. I'm like, nah, get the fuck in here, boy. It's time to go.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
sick.
But yeah, he started out as somebody that I 100% idolized. And, you know, it was crazy because they say don't meet your heroes, but I got to meet one and it's been great. He's turned into a mentor, and it's been a great friendship, and it's very cool to have that dude, you know, a phone call away. Yeah. It's crazy. is crazy. So, I mean, he's been a very successful guy, been able to navigate a lot of different scenes, a lot of different things. And, you know, anybody could hope to be as successful and make the kind of money that this motherfucker makes, you know?
Yeah, he's been around.
He don't have to spend time doing hardcore, but he does because he loves it. So that's dope. And I just hope to, you know, I hope to be as cool as that motherfucker, you know, in the next 10 years. And it, like I said, it's been dope working with him, and it's been incredible being able to play shows with him and tour with him. And, you know, all of that shit's been awesome. So shout out to him. Shout out to all the dudes in E-Town. Probably the nicest guys you'll ever meet. You probably the most talented guys you'll ever meet as well. So, like, just really cool. Great experience touring with them. And look out for that Stretching the Truth video. It's coming soon.
Dope.
So I wanted to ask a little bit about New Jersey hip hop. So if you had to pick a favorite artist from New Jersey in hip hop, who would it be?
So a lot of people give me a lot of shit about this. All right, but I don't give a fuck what they say.
It's gonna be to me, Queen Latifah.
My favorite hip hop artist out of New Jersey, out of East Orange, is Lauryn Hill.
Okay. All right.
If you listen to the Fugees and you listen to what she did on that record, she's insane. She's crazy. I got the opportunity to meet her when I was a kid, and it was inspiring to me at that point. It was like right as Killing Me Softly like hit the radio. My sister was a cheerleader and cheerleader for St. Mary's in Elizabeth. And we were playing, they were playing East Orange, and she was there, and she was dope. And she was just cool, like hanging, mingling with everybody, even though her song was like the biggest on the radio. Yeah. And I always fuck with the Fugees. Like, that was my shit growing up. And like, if you have to ask me, like, that's my first go-to is going to be her. She was crazy. And like, the shit that she said was crazy. Her flow was crazy. Her ability to do anything that you asked of her was crazy. So in terms of Jersey, like, successful, just killing it on all fronts, was able to do anything, like, really, really just relentlessly hard when she needed to be too, is Lauryn Hill.
But she did a good job at being soulful too. Like, she could, you know, create that gap where she filled both shoes very well. Like, in the Fugees, obviously was a little more hip hop with this little tinge of soul stuff, but like, her solo album was leaned more on like neo soul type of stuff.
It was incredible. It was incredible.
Look how far that shit's come, man. It's on like fucking commercials and shit. Like,
that was voted like the number one album on Apple Music or something like that. I'm pretty sure.
Mr. Lauryn Hill?
Yeah.
Yeah. Great record.
I know we both own a copy.
I mean, listen, how could you not? It's like the best record to put on when you're about to make some breakfast. You know what I'm saying? You put that shit on, you let that vinyl spin, boy, and it takes you on a trip. And if you don't feel good after you listen to that, then what the fuck is wrong with you?
Right.
You don't have a soul.
You're soulless. You're soulless. You have problems.
I wasn't expecting Lauryn Hill. That was interesting. Sure. I mean, I have no disagreement whatsoever. I completely understand why, but I just didn't.
I think
expect
second to that
I was
would
thinking
be
like
by
Tretch
Nature.
Or like
Naughty by Nature's great. Listen, Redman, fucking Tonight Is the Night. You know what I'm saying? There's a million of them. They're all good.
Yeah.
But it, like, Lords of the Underground is also fantastic out of Newark. But like, if you ask me my favorite, the one that I just keep going back to and it just still rocks, it's Lauryn Hill. Man. She's crazy. She's crazy. Like, it's just crazy. What she was able to do is crazy. During a time where a lot of female artists came out and had, like, you know, they were trying to match the men. She wasn't. She was just doing her thing. And, like, I don't know, man. It was fucking dope. Caught me as a kid. That's all I can say.
Yeah, that shit's timeless, dude.
Yeah, she wasn't doing, like, the Lil' Kim thing where she was trying to be, like, the lady thug and stuff like that. Like,
none of that.
She had her own sound and her own style, for sure.
And I always liked that. I always liked, like, it was more of, like, a backpacker b-boy style where she had a lot to say.
Yeah, like, it was thought-provoking music. It wasn't just like some shit that you had on in the background.
Right. And I fucked with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's kind of like the, that's kind of how I judge music, is like, if it's got soul, like in the sense of where I can believe it or it's trying to say something, you know what I mean? Like whatever that is, as long as it's like thought provoking, I mean, that's what it should be, right? Shouldn't art reflect what the fuck's going on? You know what I mean? Whether that's in their life or the community, so. Whatever, you know?
I think so. I think whenever you grab a mic, you know, and trust me, Bayway's got plenty of ignorant songs that are about ignorant things. But there's a time and a place for everything. And I feel like when you grab a mic and you're creating something like this, you should have something to say as well. Definitely. You know, there's something to say about having an ego song where it's just like, you know, you're a bitch, fuck you, I'll smack the shit out of you, you ain't shit but a hoe. You know what I'm saying? Those songs are necessary too. We've all got those feelings.
Yeah.
But, you know, you also should have something that you're putting forth that you know, there's songs where you got to have motherfuckers be able to sink their teeth into it, you know, and be able to have relatable content and shit that reflects the world that you live in. That's what an MC was supposed to be about. When, you know, that's how I grew up listening to hip hop. It was a reflection of the world around you. That's what people were rapping about.
Yeah, so, I've always like, you know, called it street poetry, basically. I mean, is essentially what it really is.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. It's taking what's gone on in your life through your eyes and then giving it back in poetic musical form.
And in a lot of ways, that's how hardcore is too. That's why I think both share such a close relationship, is because I feel like that's why they're born from the same place.
Right. There's such a crossover there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's just relatable. It's the cultures and the scenes are relatable because it's people that, you know, are going through similar struggles.
Well, it's like, and, like you, I was into hip hop before, like hardcore and shit. I remember being like trading a corn CD for a big pun CD, like, at my locker, you know what I mean?
Good Capital trade. Punishment, though? Yeah. Capital Punishment.
Oh, fuck yeah, Capital Punishment. Yeah, right. I got a whole long story about that. But anyway, you know what I mean? But it's because it had more to fucking say to me at that time. I mean, even though I'm like some little white kid up in northern Michigan, it just, you
just
know,
wanted to hear Dead in the Middle of Little Italy.
Nah, yeah, I want, like, you know, Inspect the Deck, yeah, fucking Beware. Ooh, so sick. But like you said, time and place, you know?
Every beat on that record was insane. That Big Pun record was crazy. That shit came out, I remember I was in fifth grade, and I was so into that Big Pun record and then Cannabis.
Cannabis.
I forgot about Cannabis.
What was it, Rip the Jacker, that album they had?
Oh,
was fucking,
man. The dude was crazy. He was crazy. Yeah, that was my shit back then, man. That was my shit back then for sure. And Big L as well. Big L was always crazy, just from a sinking your teeth into it type of standpoint. Like Big L, Nas, you can't go wrong with that shit.
Nah, you can't.
I think Big L was one of like the hardest lyrical rappers just ever of all time. Like when you listen to his shit, like. Sure, like Illmatic was out around the same time and like Biggie was dropping stuff and there was a lot of good shit, but like that Big L stuff, when you really read into it, like that shit is dark.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. He was next level, man. He was next level.
I know, like, he made a lot of people nervous too, because other people were like, damn, that's what I gotta live up to? Like that's what I'm supposed to be doing on a microphone.
Yeah, it's probably what did him in.
probably
what did him in, because, you know, quite frankly, I don't think anybody was holding the fucking candle to that motherfucker at you know, in peak 98. He was insane.
Yeah, like, untouchable.
It was the end of his life. He was about to do some crazy shit, and I think they took him away, you know, they took that away from him. But
unfortunately, you know, I feel like that's happened to quite a few people. Like, I feel like the same thing probably happened to Biggie too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there is a lot of theories on Biggie. I won't get into my conspiracies on it. I'm sure everybody's got them.
Man, but fuck he that. Diddy did that shit.
Yeah,
he don't listen to this, so I don't fucking care.
Right. No, I'm with you. But like, my thing is, like, you know, he had recorded a bunch of shit and had pressed like triple, double albums to try to get out of his record deal.
Yeah.
Was on the verge of that next record deal. So God only knows what the fuck he was getting ready to do.
Yeah, there's just, I hate that. I hate that, like, what if. That's such a big what if. A lot of artists, you know, all the way back to, like, Janis fucking Joplin, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, it sucks because we'll never get to hear it.
Yeah, it's crazy. But you got some new shit coming, right?
Oh, wait, before we got into that, one thing I wanted to say that I didn't get a chance to earlier. There's also, throughout this, like, the latest record, there's some metal vocals in there, too. Like, it's not just hardcore, not just hip-hop. Like, there's some death metal-style shit in there, too. And I thought that was a really nice...
Yeah, yeah.
That was a cool way to, like, just add, you know, further expand on your own flair. I was like, damn, like, this dude is all over the place. Like, he just keeps pulling out surprises.
Yeah, as far as vocals are concerned, it's, like, one of those situations where, like, it really, like, if the song calls for it, right, then, like, why not do it?
Right.
Like, I don't like to put myself in a box, clearly. You know what I'm saying? And, like, I feel like I fuck with, I love death metal. Like, I'm a big Internal Bleeding guy. I love fucking, I mean, where do you even fucking get started? I love Dehumanized. I love Dying Fetus. You know what I mean? I love
Cannibal. You're a drummer in a fucking death metal band. So, I mean, how could you?
So Dehumanized is like, you know what I'm saying? Suffocation, you know?
Classics.
Skinless, like the Skinless demos. Like some of that shit is as hip hop as it gets, especially when it comes out of New York. If you look at the demo stuff from all these New York bands, these New York death metal bands, they were so heavily influenced by hip hop. It's so fucking cool. Like the early Skinless stuff, the early Internal Bleeding stuff is just like so bouncy. It's itty bop music. Like you can tell that they liked Cannibal Corpse and they listened to Mobb Deep. Like yeah, you can tell, yeah, and yeah. It's so cool. So like for me, I always wanted to, like, you know, I like all that shit. Like, and there's no reason why you have to put yourself in this specific category. I'm only going to do high screams. I'm only going to do middle screams. I'm only going to rap. I'm only going to do low vocals. You know what I mean? So, like, if the song calls for it, fuck it. Like, I'm going to rip a low vocal. Like, you know, if I can do it and it sounds good, I'll try it. And
it does sound good, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it, man. I really do. Like, the low vocals are definitely... they're brutal to do, but like they make a different feeling. They provoke a different feeling.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, it really drives the fucking nail in when you do that. Like whatever point you're getting across vocally, like it makes it that much bigger, louder, and heavier.
That's dope as fuck to hear that. And like I love hearing other people's perspectives of like what you felt like when you were listening to it is so cool. Cause like, that's for me, I feel the same way. Like, I just feel like it's the ultimate aggression.
Yeah.
Like when you hit that low vocal like that, like it's serious now. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's gone a step further than where it was a minute ago. Like, you know, so like, that's kind of what it is. It's like the icing on the cake, nail in the coffin. You know what I'm saying? Like
it's hitting the all caps on the fuck you.
100%, 100%, and really driving it home. And I just feel like, you know, like I think it was weird at first because it was like, yo, can I do death metal vocals like during like the demo stages? And my boy, you know, Chris, the guitar player, was like, yo, if you got him, do him, fuck him. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, just let it rip. Like, whatever you feel, just do it. And so that's just how I've been doing it. Like, if that's what the song brings out of me, that's what the song gets.
Yeah, you brought out a whole bag of tricks.
Yeah, that shit's dope.
You came to the studio with like a big sack, and you're like, "Let me just bring this out real quick." Like,
I was like, "Hold on a second, let me go into the bag for one more." Yeah.
So we're still on like recording. Where and getting in the studio? Did you record everything in the same place?
Yeah, everything was recorded at my studio. I have a studio called Bayway Studios. I've been recording for probably about 15 years, but I never really did other people's projects. I was only doing like my own stuff. And then, you know, a couple people had hit me and they were like, yo, I like the way the demo sounds. Do you want to, you know, would you record me? So now I'm like full blown into it, like fucking fully booked up, fucking, I got a band coming in tomorrow. I did the Final Resting Place record. I did the Discontent single. I did the new Discontent record. I did the Balmora single that just came out.
I just saw that band at fucking Tie Down, and I didn't know anything about them. Fucking sick.
Insane, man. I had no idea I liked metalcore as much as I did until I saw Balmora.
Yeah.
And I was like, Jesus Christ, these fucking dudes know exactly how to do this the correct way.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? They are mixing. They're mixing that. They're taking all those things that they grew up on and putting them together, and it's beautiful. And I really, really fuck with it. Shout out to them. We played with them in Vegas. They let us use their cymbals. They're just the coolest motherfuckers. Mad down to earth. But yeah, I did their new single. So like, the studio's just been kind of popping off. So like, Bayway Studios, if you want to check it out, it's on Instagram. I'm booking for the middle of October, early November right now. But I got some death metal shit that I'm about to do. I got new Final Resting Place that I'm about to start fucking with. So a bunch of shit is just, you know, it's coming in. I think I'm actually doing I can announce it. I'm doing a Bulldoze single, a new single for Bulldoze next week. So I worked with those guys. I produced the single with them, helped write a little bit. It's been a really cool situation. I love them.
Fucking shout out dream to Zach and Mike. True,
shout
dude.
Out Buddha. Shout out Chris. Shout out Ray. Great guys. Bulldoze is awesome.
Fuck yeah.
But yeah, so I'm doing a lot of shit with the studio. I did the Bayway demo. We put that out. Then I recorded. We were still kind of writing the demo, and that's kind of what World of Bayway Volume 2 was. So I recorded that. And then I did Word is Bond, and like that was sort of a step up, like, you know, in terms of the way the band sounded.
Oh, which, definitely.
Which was on purpose, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, I don't know about you, but, like, I like the shitty sounding demo. Like, that's my shit. You know what I'm saying? So, and then the next record that we're about to put out has four new songs, features Greg from Hold My Own, and also has was recorded at Bayway Studios, and it's called Bayway Takes Manhattan. The first single is going to come out on Friday the 13th. The cover art for it is insane. The same dude that did The World of Bayway Volume 2, the dude holding the world on top of him.
I can hear that.
He did the artwork for Bayway Takes Manhattan. And that was just always my favorite horror flick. There it is right there. Yeah, he did shout out Primal. He did the artwork for the new record, and Jason Takes Manhattan was always my favorite horror movie. I thought it was like the most ridiculous.
It fucking is the most ridiculous, man. Like,
when the dude gets his head punched off, like he kills somebody with a guitar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He
punches off a head. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, so bad.
It's the most ridiculous movie of all time.
Yeah, no, it's definitely. And it was like, what they took him off fucking Crystal Lake. What the fuck?
Right, exactly.
It's so awesome.
He somehow ends up from funny. Crystal Lake in Manhattan. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, it was just one of those ridiculous things. And like, we're from Jersey. Jason Voorhees is a character from New Jersey.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it was like, there was a lot of things that like kind of worked towards it. And always loved the color scheme of who did the artwork for Jason Takes Manhattan, and like with the cityscape, and he's like towering over it.
Yeah.
And for me, it's like symbolic because I always felt like New Jersey was in the shadow of, you know, of the Rotten Apple. It's the shadow of New York City. So like, you know, Bayway Takes Manhattan is sort of like, you know, us just doing our thing. And so there was two Friday the 13th. I think one of them is in September. One of them is in December. Maybe it's November. I think it's December, though. So, like, with the double Friday the 13th coming, us doing four tracks, and Jason Takes Manhattan being my favorite record. I mean, it's my favorite soundtrack, too. It's ridiculous. But it's my favorite movie. So like, as a kid, I was like so into it, so I was like, fuck it, you know what I'm saying, let's do Bayway Takes Manhattan and just do something ridiculous. And that's exactly what we did. So I hope people fuck with it. The new single comes out on Friday the 13th, which is next week. It'll be out through Days. I think it's coming out on tape, and the colorways are going to be insane. I think we're going to do like the cover art on a tape. I'm not exactly sure. We'll get to that when it actually comes out. But yeah, it's gonna be dope. I think people are gonna fuck with it, and I know I do. I'm super excited to get this new music out there. It's very, very hard. Very, 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 very harsh, hard, dark music. So I'm pumped on it.
I can't wait to hear it, man.
Yeah, definitely. I like the mashup, too, between the two. The creativity behind that. I mean, that goes back to when we were talking about the merch and the tapes and the records and everything. Like, I mean, you're hitting fucking home runs everywhere you go.
Thank you, bro. I really appreciate that. I'm trying to make the merch that I want.
Yeah.
You know, and that's it. It's like,
I mean, that's the best way to do it, because if none of it sells and you get stuck with it, at least you like it.
That's what I'm saying.
I got a shirt for every day of the weekend.
Fuck yeah.
You know, so like I want to make the shit that I'd like to see. You know, they say be the change in the world that you want or whatever the fuck they say. So that's what I'm doing, bro. Like, I'm just trying to make the most ridiculous shit, stupid shit that people can sink their teeth into. And, you know, I love having concepts behind albums. You know what I'm saying? That's why World of Bayway, we had the volume one, the volume two, you know what I'm saying? And like, everything should be connected. It should have like these ebb and flows, like these rivers of that connect to each other at a certain point. And that's what I like to do. I like to create shit that's just like, you know, that like has a story behind it. Everything that Bayway does, like none of it is just like, oh, we just did it. You know what I mean? It's like,
there's purpose behind everything.
Yeah. Everything's got a backstory.
Or at least like, an inside joke of some sort.
Yeah.
There's plenty of those. Yeah. Trust me. Plenty of those. Yeah. We're known for that. I mean, that's like our thing at this point. It's like, the joke was like, yo, be cool. Wouldn't it be funny if we toured with E-Town? It's like, we went on tour with E-Town. You're like, wouldn't it be cool if we called the band Bayway? That shit would be hilarious. Now the band is Bayway. You know what I'm saying? Yo, we should do World of Bayway Volume 1 and Volume 2. That should be stupid, right? Yeah. Volume 1, Volume 2. You know what I'm saying? Comes out on vinyl. Sells out. It's like, what the fuck is even happening? What world are we living in?
Yo, dude, I fucking pre-ordered that shit, man. I wanted it. And it was fucking sold out. You know what I mean?
I appreciate you, man.
I didn't hear you guys until this fucking... till this Ashbury Nights tape.
Oh, yeah.
And then the Newport sessions. And then, you know what I mean? And then I've been a fan ever since.
Dude, I appreciate you, man. It's people like you that are helping good folks like me scream into people's faces at an alarming rate. So I appreciate the shit out of you. And it means the world to me. I mean, you guys having me on or even giving a fuck about the band is just means the world. And I really do appreciate it. I really, really do.
Hey, man, we appreciate you coming on and fucking giving us a backstory on the band and where it's going. It's good to hear, and I'm glad that everything's going in a positive way, man, and shit's just growing.
Bro, anytime you guys want to have me on, if we're releasing new music or whatever the fuck we're doing, you guys want to bullshit about something, I'm here. Hit me. I love talking to you guys. Fucking would love to come back and do it again. I'll bring other members of the band so you can see how ridiculous they are next time.
Shit, and that'd be all right.
Yeah, man. You know, I mean, we're a crazy bunch. I can tell you that. Crazy bunch of assholes.
Before we start to wrap stuff up here, we always ask people this towards the end of an episode.
Yeah, I'm fucking waiting for this.
Have you?
I have no idea.
So outside of your genre of music that you play, what is something that you listen to that people would not expect you to listen to?
That people would not expect me to listen to?
Yeah. And it can be absolutely anything. We've had some wild answers, so.
Okay, well, here's I think no one would expect this out of me. But my favorite record of all time, all right? Favorite record of all time, I put it on whenever I sit down on a plane. Is The Wallflowers. I believe it's called Bringing Down the Horses. Okay. It had one headlight. You remember that joint?
Yep,
one headlight.
Yep.
All right. At Sixth Avenue, a Heartache.
Yep.
That is my all time favorite record. I love.
Didn't see that coming out.
No, me neither.
I love that record.
And
I love that record.
I love that Sixth Avenue Heartache song. Like, and I feel kind of weird. I used to feel weird about that. And then, you know, I got old and got over it. But. That's,
well,
I did
here's
not
another
expect
one.
That.
Here's another weird one. Paul McCartney's Ram.
Oh, that fucking album is sick, dude.
Okay,
I'm with you.
Here's what I love about that. I've done a lot of records. Like, I have a band called Hog Slammer. Okay, check it out if you get a chance. It's a brutal slamming, stupid idiot band. Right, just absolutely the dumbest shit you could think of. Hog Slam. I do everything by myself in that. I play guitar, play bass, do vocals, do drums. Paul McCartney on Ram did everything by himself.
Right.
I always thought that was so fucking cool. And then I was able to do a couple records like that later on in my life where I did everything by myself. So that inspired me to do that. Like, yo, there's been times in my life where I couldn't hook up with musicians or it just didn't feel right or whatever. The vibe was wrong. And I was able to just sit down and write the record on my own. And I always thought that was dope that Paul McCartney was just like, you know, he got to the point where it was like, fuck the Beatles. He was mad at John or whatever it was. And he went and did his record. You know what I mean? He did his Ram record by himself. And that record has a lot of dope shit on it.
Fucking right.
And, so yeah, that's cool, another one.
He probably had access to anybody in the world, literally.
Right.
So he was just like, I'm doing it myself. Like,
well, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, he's like, I'm going into the middle of the fucking wilderness. I'm going to record a record with my wife. And we're going to chill. And that's fucking awesome, man. Fuck it. When you've done everything, you might as well do something else.
Yeah. I mean, and like...
That motherfucker could do anything,
That's
you
what
know?
Snoop Dogg's doing. He's just doing side missions at this
point. Exactly, bro. He's on crazy. Every side quest imaginable.
Yeah. You see on fucking everything.
Those are two records that I feel like people wouldn't expect out of me, the hardcore singer. That's like, that's my shit.
Oh, man. That's perfect.
Yeah, those were fucking great answer because that's the type of shit we look for. Like, some people will be like, whoa.
Fucking wallflowers are stuck in my head already, you know?
Yeah, bro, go put that shit on. Shit. I went and saw my wife, like, very recently, and it was, like, a sit-down, intimate venue.
Yeah.
It was so weird. It was, like, so weird to be seated at a show. But, man, they were fucking good. God, they were fucking good.
That's cool. They still tour. I had no idea.
Yeah, man. And I mean, I listen to all sorts of weird shit though. Like, I like all the Hendrix blues records. I like the OJs.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? I like Johnny Winter, like a really really crazy blues guitar player. Your Winter Group, I fuck with that heavily. You know, I like the classics, man. I like the classics. But when it comes to like, you know, when it comes to hip hop shit, if it came out between 89 and 96. I probably fuck with it pretty heavy. Yeah. You know, that time period was just real good for hardcore and for hip hop.
Yeah. Now with hip hop, you got to kind of do a little more digging, it feels like, because, and that's really the same with any style of music, because anybody can just make an album out of their living room. So you don't know whether or not it's going to be good or like if the shit's authentic or whatever the case may be. Like, you got to do a little more legwork to find the good stuff.
Probably my last song that I like really fucked with, like hip hop wise, that came out was They Not Like Us.
Oh, yeah, the Kendrick Lamar.
It was just like, this is the catchiest diss I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
Like, that really had a number one single off of Fuck You. Yeah. That shit's crazy.
And he did like a 6-time encore at the show. Like, that was like the biggest way to say fuck you. Like, you got 15,000 people chanting this word for word. Like, he ain't even saying anything, and the whole crowd's just got the whole song going.
Bro, insane.
Yeah, you know, you got to give it up when somebody can fucking control a crowd like that, man. That's like fucking power, dude.
And he had like most of Drake's friends up there.
I
like,
know that shit was nuts.
That's what I'm saying, though. You know what I mean? That's how good that song was.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff, like underground New York stuff, and like Toronto has a pretty good hip hop scene. And
yeah, that's what
like,
I heard when we were in Toronto like a year ago.
Yeah,
a lot of people were talking up a bunch of different stuff. I got to get into it. Like, I got to be honest. Like, I spend a certain amount of time like sponging shit up and listening to music. But when Bayway's writing music, I try not to listen to shit.
That way you're not imitating anything.
Yeah, I listen to like, I like revert back to like, I only listen to like Das Effects. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I have to put something on in the car, or like I listen to like R&B.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Put on some like, Boyz II Men or something.
Bro, I do fuck with Boyz II Men, I'm not going to lie. But
I'll fuck with it.
I fuck with Casey and JoJo. I don't give a fuck, bro. I'm down to ride. Oh,
dude, you gotta fuck with Jodeci.
So like
D'Angelo too is another.
Yeah, good bro, one. All of that shit was great. But yeah, so I try to listen to stuff like that because I know that I'm gonna be like harping on like two-step parts and breakdowns. Right. So it's like just anything else to try to get, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
to
yeah.
like clear my head and shit like that.
Hey, we do this podcast out of the back of my record store. So like we have, I mean, we're into all sorts of everything from A to Z. Like we'll find something.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I mean, listen, I was just in Cali, in Pomona. I think the record store was called Zoinks. So I went in there and I start thumbing through everything. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to, like, they get mad at me because I'm in the fucking, I'll be in the record store for 2 hours. Yeah. I got to see everything.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? I have to.
You don't know what treasure you're going to flip through. Like, that's the, right. that's half the fun of record collecting.
Fucking 90%
of it. Just to speak on how ridiculous it was, I wound up going home with Crisscross, that original Jump single, right? And I went home with the OJ's Backstabbers.
I seen you post that.
That was last night's record that I had on.
That record.
Right, and I was listening to that last night while I was cooking dinner, and then I went home with Reputation by Taylor Swift to give that shit to my daughter for her birthday, right? Shout out to her. And then I went out to the Gorilla Biscuits and Killing Time the other night in Jersey, and I'm thumbing through the records, and I was there for like an hour and a half, bro. I missed the first band, so I was thumbing through the records. And I wound up going home with... Everybody Gets Hurt and Billy Club Sandwich, that split. And I wound up going home with Downset, their original demo where they were like talking shit on Rage Against the Machine still. It was you know what I mean?
Sick.
I was like, what you know about a set or a side? You know what I mean? Back, never seen a nine. I was like, oh shit, I got the old shit. So I got their original demo. I think it was like 92 that they recorded that, but it was on Blue. And it was a 7-inch on Blue with like handwritten. It said Anger and Ritual on it.
So
like,
fucking sick.
So fucking dope. So I was pumped on that. But yeah, that's my thing, man. Like we got a couple record stores around here. We used to have a really great one called Vintage Vinyl, and it had everything. Fucking everything. Like you could go in there and get the 25 to Life demo. You know what I'm saying? Like it had everything. So I was spoiled growing up because I was able to go in there and thumb through records, and I spent like 5 hours in that motherfucker trying to find my shit, you know. But every time I see it, like there's local distro. Shout out to Duda. Duda's distro is one from Jersey that he's always out. He's always pushing records. Always has really cool shit. But yeah, I'm big into vinyl, man. I don't know. I started collecting it, and it just turned into a fucking nightmare that took over my entire dining room.
That's us.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're preaching to the choir.
Yeah, man. We can send you some pictures. We got, like, our own fucking rooms and shit.
Yeah, do it.
The whole downstairs of my house is just dedicated to music stuff.
Where are y'all at?
Alpena, Michigan.
Okay. So I got to get out this way so I can check out the record store.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's, we're like 3.5-4 hours north of Detroit, depending on how you drive.
Okay. Well, it depends on whether my bass player's driving or my drummer.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, my drummer's driving. We're there in two and a half hours.
I was going to say the drummer's got the heavier foot.
Oh, my God. That boy works the pedals.
He's just in there fucking pedal to the floor. Like, I love him. Yeah, I ain't drumming right now.
Shout out to Dave Miracle, bro. He'll get you there fast.
Fucking A. We'll have to meet him sometime.
You will. We'll play out there, and y'all will fucking, I'll be able to come to that record store. It'll be dope.
Cool.
That's what's up.
Right, man. We appreciate your time. It's been cool talking to you, listening about the band, upcoming stuff, all that. Like, we really appreciate you taking the time to sit and talk with us. You got anything you'd like to add before we wrap things up here?
Honestly, man, nah, just fucking, you know, shout out to all the homies. Shout out to all my friends. Shout out to everybody that supports Bayway. Shout out to the New Jersey crew. These motherfuckers come out the woodwork all the time supporting Bayway. Love you motherfuckers. And shout out to everybody that came out in Cali. If y'all motherfuckers hear this shit, I'd love to come to Detroit. So anybody that fucking hears this shit, bring me to Detroit. Take me there. Hit me, tgptouring@gmail.com. That motherfucker will get us out there. And, you know, new Bayway's coming. Bayway Takes Manhattan. It's coming, baby. Yeah, it's coming.
Dude. Dope.
And I hope y'all fuck with it. And, you know, thank you to you guys for having me on. Absolute pleasure talking to you. And like I said, you know, if we're ever putting shit out or you want me to come back on, hit me. And I'm down to do it. You guys have been a fucking absolute pleasure to speak with. So thank you.
Thank you.
And yeah, I mean, I guess I'll end it in the only way I can, and that's to say Bayway, motherfucker.
All right, man. You enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll be in touch with you soon for sure.
Appreciate you. Let me know when this shit pops out, and then I'll get it promoted for you.
Will do.
Definitely, man. Thank you.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate you. Thank you.
Peace.